The Book Programme, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good evening. Welcome to the second part of tonight's book show. In the first hour, we heard from Rebecca Frayn, Nadine Matheson, and David Cato Evans. In this hour, we chat to Robert J. Sawyer. He has won both the Hugo and the Nebula Award for Best Science Fiction Novel of the Year. The ABC series Flash Forward, starring Joseph Fiennes, was based on his novel of the same name. Robert was the guest of honour at the 2023 World Science Fiction Convention. According to the US science fiction trade journal Locus, Robert is the number one all-time worldwide leader in the number of award wins as a science fiction or fantasy novelist. Stephen King is number two. His new book, The Downloaded, debuted on Audible, narrated by Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser. It's set in 2059, where two very different groups have their minds uploaded into a quantum computer. We also chat to Brian Lough, who has written comedy for television, theatre and digital media, and is a multi-award-winning short filmmaker. While working at the BBC, he produced the chart-topping podcast Have I Got News For You. His previous books include The Serious Business of Writing, Performing and Selling Comedy. His first full-length novel, Muddleton, is about a delusional and dysfunctional dynasty of aristocrats desperately trying to save their ancestral home, Hog Hall, from demolition. It's been described as a cross between Downton Abbey and Father Ted. We also chat to Andrew Corwin. He's a retired American Navy captain who spent the last 15 years of his military career chasing down emerging diseases in Indonesia. His debut novel, Lost and Found on Planet Danny, was inspired by a true account of an epidemic scenario that could not have been dreamt up. It's based on real events associated with the ongoing insurgency to free West Papua of Indonesian rule. And finally, on tonight's book show is Harry Miller. He's an accomplished musician and keen traveller. His book, Wonderground, is a book of rhymes about the London Underground. 11 rhymes for 11 lines. It also features some tube trivia. And that's tonight's book show on Talk Radio Europe.
The Book Programme. Presented by Hannah Murray.
Joining us on the line now is Robert J. Sawyer. He's won both the Hugo and the Nebula Award for Best Science Fiction Novel of the Year. The ABC TV series Flash Forward, starring Joseph Fiennes, was based on his novel of the same name. He was guest of honour at the 2023 World Science Fiction Convention. He's with us on the book show to talk about his new book, The Downloaded. It debuted in a six-month exclusive window as an Audible original, narrated by Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser, promoted by national TV and radio campaigns. According to the US science fiction trade journal Locus, Rob is the number one all-time worldwide leader in the number of award wins as a science fiction or fantasy novelist. Number two is Stephen King. So The Downloaded is set in 2059, when two very different groups have their minds uploaded into a quantum computer. One group consists of astronauts preparing for Earth's first interstellar voyage, and the other are convicted murderers serving their sentences in a virtual reality prison. Welcome to the book show, Robert.
Thank you so much, Hannah. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. What an amazing imagination you must have.
Well, thank you. You know, it's the only marketable skill I have, so it's good that it's turned out to be useful for something.
So did you always know you wanted to write science fiction?
I knew I wanted to write it, absolutely, but I did not think I could make a living at it. And so I'd actually intended to be a vertebrate paleontologist. My first love, and still a great love, is dinosaurs. And you can see a connection sort of between that and science fiction. Dinosaurs are these strange life forms that we know only about because of the fossil record. We will never encounter them in real life. And of course, science fiction often writes about extraterrestrials, worlds that we will also never visit in real life. In the last minute, in the end of high school, I thought, I've got to give this writing thing a try as my profession, not just my hobby. And it worked out all right. So I never became a paleontologist, became a writer instead. And I'm very happy I made that particular pivot in my life.
Yeah. And you've written so many books now. Have you lost count, or do you know how many you've had published?
No, I do. The tax people want to know how many to justify all the tax deductions, right? So there are 25 novels and there are 3 short story collections. Plus I've edited 5 or co-edited 5 anthologies of other people's short fiction.
Yeah, amazing. And do you ever get kind of confused if people say, oh, tell us about that particular book. Do you have to think, hold on a second, which one was that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My first novel came out in 1990. Well, that's 34 years ago, more than a third of a century. But it's still available. It's called Golden Fleece. It's still available. I get, you know, fan mail about it, which is always nice. They don't ask a question. That's great. Why did the character do this? What were you thinking when you wrote that? What were you thinking a third of a century ago on any particular day when you did your job? I have no idea at this point. And they'll ask me about characters or events, plot twists that I've completely forgotten.
Yeah, I bet. So tell us about the Downloaded. I mean, being narrated by Brendan Fraser, that's pretty cool. How did that come about?
Well, I'm a Canadian and Brendan is a Canadian, and Audible had approached me from their Canadian head office, which is in New Jersey, United States, of all places, and said, would you write something for us? And we came to terms that I would do this project. And then they asked me, and also the director they had hired, and the director they had hired was a fine gentleman named Greg Sinclair, who just passed away. The Downloaded was his final project, sad to say. But Greg and I, you know, put our heads together and we said, well, Canadians, we want a Canadian actor. How about Brendan Fraser? Now, we had said this to Audible before March of last year, when Brendan had the incredible bad taste to go ahead and win the Oscar for Best Lead Actor in The Whale, which meant we thought he was now going to be priced out of our price range. But Brendan read my book, The Downloaded, loved the material, and agreed very happily to be our lead narrator for the audio version. It's out in print and ebook now, but the audio version is available worldwide in English and also in French through Audible, whatever your local audible.com is in your local country.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And is it strange when you're hearing his voice reading out your work?
It is a joy for an actor. You know, you mentioned in the introduction that there was an American ABC, the American Broadcasting Corporation, television series 15 years ago now, based on my novel, Flash Forward. And in that, and also in this, having these great actors, Joseph Fiennes, of course, who played Shakespeare in the classic movie Shakespeare in Love. Brendan Fraser, well known for the Mummy franchise of movies. And as I say, Academy Award winner for The Whale. You can't ask for better than this caliber of actors reading the words that you've written. You like to think they sound good in your head, but when you put them into an award-winning actor's mouth, they sound even better than what you hope they would sound.
Yeah, amazing. So does Flash Forward seem like another lifetime ago now?
It really does. And it's funny, I was just on book tour in Canada. I still am, actually. And 2 days ago, I was in Winnipeg, Manitoba at a bookstore. Now, why is that significant? Because 15 years ago, I was in Winnipeg, Manitoba on the day that Flash Forward premiered, the first broadcast showing. And so the bookstore there, the same one, McNally Robinson, arranged a big screen showing of the show, and it was on broadcast television, so there were commercial breaks. I was there, and during each commercial, I would say, okay, so here's what we're going to do in the next scene, or here's how that last scene should have been, but, you know, budget, blah, blah, blah. It was so much fun, and to be back on the same ground 15 years later, the same bookstore, launching the Downloaded print edition, really was kind of a bookend to that period. But yes, Flash Forward was a great, wonderful experience. We made it on the Disney lot in Los Angeles, California. Disney owns ABC Studios. And it was one of the peak experiences of my life. But it was, you know, for all of us in a different time, pre-COVID, you know, a decade and a half ago. A great experience, though. And it's still available. It streams on various services. The DVDs are available. Flash Forward, based on the novel by me, Robert J. Sawyer.
And did you have a lot to do with the development then? Because sometimes when things adapted for the screen, the author kind of takes a step back. Were you involved?
I absolutely was involved, and I owe a great deal of credit to the for that to the people who were adapting it. David S. Goyer, who had written the movie Batman Begins, and had just finished being the showrunner on the adaptation just now, I mean just this year, of Isaac Asimov's Foundation trilogy, and Brannon Braga, who had written more episodes for the Star Trek franchise than anybody else in history, were the co-writers of the pilot based on my novel, and they were very inclusive of me. And I also had a contractual provision to be a consultant on the series. I wrote one of the episodes of the series, but I have nothing but affection for Dave and Brannon. Yes, they changed things that I had written. That's okay. You know, you're licensing something for adaptation. And my favorite movies are all adaptations, and liberal ones at that. 2001 A Space Odyssey is a very liberal adaptation of an Arthur C. Clarke short story called The Sentinel. The original Planet of the Apes, of course, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the newest installment in that franchise is out right now. The original is a very liberal adaptation of a French novel, The Planet des Singes by Pierre Boulle. And Casablanca, my all-time favorite film, is a liberal adaptation of a stage play so bad nobody ever mounts it, called Everybody Comes to Rick's by June Allison.
So let's talk about the downloaded then. Where did you get the idea for this from?
This, you know, I always say science fiction is never about the year in which it's supposedly set. So 2001, The Space Odyssey, wasn't about 2001. It's very much a Cold War film steeped in 1968 when it came out. Well, the downloaded, I was writing during the COVID-19 crisis. And that, in fact, was the genesis of the idea. During COVID-19, we were all metaphorically uploading our consciousness into the virtual realm. We weren't going to the office. We were telecommuting. We weren't going out to eat in restaurants. We were having delivery services bring stuff to our private little isolated silos. We weren't interacting with our friends in the pub or wherever we might have usually done it. We were doing it online. But I knew it was going to come to an end. We all hoped it would come to an end faster than it did, the COVID-19 crisis, and that we would have to metaphorically download back into dealing face-to-face with human beings and all their glory and all of their difficulty of dealing with them. And so I thought, let's make that literal and have people upload into virtual reality who are forced against their will to download and have to deal face-to-face with real flesh and blood humanity with all its foibles again. And that's the downloaded in a nutshell.
Interesting. So tell us about the two different types of people or two different groups of people that you have in the story.
Yes. So I grew up with the background of my life being the American space program, Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and subsequently Space Shuttle and all that. But the Mercury astronauts were made famous by Thomas Wolfe, who wrote a book about them, a nonfiction book called The Right Stuff. And this term became synonymous with what Wolfe idealized. There was a movie based on The Right Stuff. There was a miniseries in the United States subsequently. But I wanted to contrast what we think of as the right stuff with what we definitionally call the wrong stuff, the people that ends up putting people in jail, criminals. Because I had come to believe very strongly that what Thomas Wolfe celebrated as the right stuff, this hyper macho competitiveness, was really pretty synonymous with what we now call toxic masculinity. Whereas a lot of people who end up in jail and in prison are there, they're victims of circumstances, or they've made one horribly bad choice that has ramifications for them and their families and their loved ones, and of course any victims that they might have been committed their crime against, but aren't necessarily to the core bad people. I wanted to contrast people with the supposed right stuff with people who the law have said had the wrong stuff, and then mix it up so that maybe people's preconceptions of who are the good guys and who are the bad guys could change during the course of the dramatic narrative, which is my novel, The Downloaded.
Interesting. So did your opinions change as you were writing?
they had changed beforehand, but like everybody else, criminals, what an unsavory element. And as a writer, you get to do all kinds of interesting things. Well, I've been lucky enough to visit a couple of prisons during my course of being a writer, not because anybody, you know, threw me behind bars, but I was invited, for instance, way up in Canada's north in the Yukon Territory. I was at a writer's festival, and they said, you know, Rob, we have this program where writers go and visit prisoners. Prisoners are angry for all kinds of reasons, and one is nobody ever listens to them. They've got stories to tell, but they don't have, they've never trained in English literature, they've never trained in creative writing, they don't know how to tell their stories. Would you like to go and spend a day mentoring writers in how they can put on in words, you know, maybe not for publication, maybe just so that their children could understand how they ended up where they were. And it was such an eye-opening experience because these were people who had obviously fallen afoul of the law. Some of them had many years yet to serve or had already served many years in jail. But they were human beings with aspirations and hearts and emotions and stories. And it changed me overnight when I got to actually spend time with those people. We're always told, oh, we've locked them away for our good, the good of society. Maybe, maybe not, but they are human beings. And that I wanted, I've been looking for some years for a story to incorporate that reality. And The Download had turned out to be the right vehicle for that juxtaposition of astronauts and prisoners.
Yeah, it's really interesting and kind of proves that life isn't black and white, but you don't have good people and bad people. Most of us are a mixture of the two.
Well, that's right. You know, this is people, they say science fiction. Oh, you must be a Star Wars fan. I'm not really a Star Wars fan. And one of the reasons is, unlike any kind of sophisticated literature, the people in Star Wars know whether they're the heroes or the villain. They literally are part of the bright side of the Force or the dark side of the Force, right? Darth Vader's, he's no question, yeah, I'm a villain. I chose the dark side. And that is contrary to reality. You name the worst villain you can think of, and that person thinks of themselves as the hero, or at least not a villain, in their own story. And in writing fiction, and, you know, The Downloader is obviously a novel, so you're trying to do everything you can with the human condition in that laboratory that you've got when you're writing a novel for exploring the human condition. You want people who don't wear black hats or white hats the way they do in cowboy movies or have pursued the dark side or the light side of the Force.
Yes, fascinating. So could there be a follow-up for this one, or will it definitely remain a standalone?
You know, it's funny, if I had to have a pseudonym, I've sometimes thought that my pseudonym would be Sergio Standalone, right? For standalone, because most of my books are standalones. And I'm a believer as a reader, what I get very frustrated when I get to the end of a book and it doesn't end. Oh, there's a cliffhanger. The author wants me to buy volume two. Same thing with a movie, right? You know, if it's this is the end of part one of Dune, this is The Empire Strikes Back, you know, it ends on a cliffhanger. No, I don't want that. So The Downloaded, as I constructed it in the novel that's out now, as well as the audio version, complete beginning, middle, and end. And then, boom, as you mentioned in the introduction, 6 months ago, it came out as an Audible original. So we've got, even though the book just came out this month in print, we've got 6 months of reviews and reader demand. So that Audible actually asked me just quite recently, hey, I know this was a standalone, Mr. Standalone, would you contemplate writing a sequel for us? So I've just drafted the proposal for a sequel. The absolutely the first one, beginning, middle, and end. You'll never have to pursue the sequel. A satisfying experience. But it looks like I'm going to be writing The Downloaded 2, which has the working title right now of Ghosts in the Machine.
Ah, interesting stuff. Well, for the time being, listeners can get a copy of The Downloaded. They can download it from our website, tre.radio. There's an Amazon link on there. And it is by Robert J. Sawyer, who we've had the pleasure of chatting with on the book show today. Robert, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Anna.
Talk Radio Europe.